Okay, today's shiur is dedicated Le'ilui Nishmas Chaya Feiga Bas Harav Yonah HaKohen. Today's daf is Bab Metzia Daf Samech Vav. We left off on Daf Samech Heyam at Beis, 17 lines from the bottom of the page. First word on the line is Mutter. We're up to the second word on the line. Mashkin lo bayis, mashkin lo sada, amr lo lik shatir to the mochrim, lo timochrim elili, bedam malalu aser. If a person gives as a mashkon on the loan, a house or a field, and he tells the guy, look, when you want to sell him, meaning the lender tells the borrower, the lender who's holding on to this house or field as a mashkon, tells the borrower, look, if you ever want to sell these fields, I want you to sell them to me, bidamim halalu, for these monies, and he specifies a very small amount of money, a very tiny amount of money, beyond the amount of the loan, and the amount of the loan plus that extra amount of money that he specifies does not equal the value of the field. That's going to be aser, because that's going to be considered ribis. He lent him $100. The field is worth $150. So he says, look, I lent you $100. I'll pay you an extra $25. And then I'm going to own the $150 field. So that's going to be ribis. That's going to be aser. Right? That's how Rashi understands the case, that that he's adding a little bit extra money. That's what Rashi says on the third wide, on the third medium-sized line. Bedamim halalu pasak lo damim muatim lahosif lo al ma'os halva'a latzmisalo en balo mochra. That he adds, in addition to the money that he lent him, he says, I'll give you damim halalu, a little bit more money, but even so, the two together don't equal the value of the field, and that's going to be aser. Tosus is bothered why Rashi has to say that he added extra money. Why doesn't he just say that he tells him, look, I'm holding your field as a mashkon. If you ever decide that you want this field sold, the money I gave you as a loan should be in exchange for this field. Why does he have to say that he's throwing in more money? That dam malalu means he's adding more money to the cheshbon. So if you look at Tosos, lo timkrim ela li bedam malalu aser mash appears bekuntros pasuk lo dam muatin lahosif al maos alalu la mida biyado umbalu mochra mishum de lav urcha de milsahu sheim chalal legamri bedamei halvaa. He says the reason you have to say that he's adding in a little bit more money over here is because it's very unusual. It's not at all normal for the borrower to just say, you know what, you lent me the money, in exchange for the money, let the whole field be yours. The Lama Yasa came, because what? Why on earth would he do that? What would motivate him to want to just be exchange the field for the chov? Because right now the field is a mashkon. As a mashkon, if the borrower ever wants that field back, he'll be able to just buy it back. He'll be able to pay up the loan, not buy it back, pay up the loan and get his field back. So what would motivate him? Why would he have any interest in just allowing the lender to keep the field? So it must be that the lender's sweetening the pot. It must be the lender's sweetening the deal a little bit and he's throwing in some money. And the borrower could use a little bit of extra cash right now. And he figures, since the field is a mashkon, so I don't have it right now anyway, and right now I can use the cash, I have mounting bills or whatever, I could really use the cash right now. So he's willing to let the lender keep it for good if the lender is willing to put in a little bit extra money. Even though that little bit of extra money plus the loan still does not equal the value of the field, but right now the field is useless to the borrower because it's a mashkon in the lender's hands. So that's why Rashi says that he must be adding a little bit of money, because otherwise there's no other reason that he would want to sell him the field. But still, says Tosos, I don't think that that's really correct. I think Rashi does this for no reason. I think Rashi adds in this idea that he throws in a few extra dollars for no reason. Because he would still be interested in selling it to the lender if the lender is interested in buying it, and if the borrower is interested in selling it. Because it still puts the borrower in a better position. Why does it put the borrower in a better position? The borrower will at least have closure. He borrowed a good sum of money. It's not easy for him to pay back the money. And he has this field as a mashkon. So long as that field is still called a mashkon, it's still just a collateral, the borrower will never have closure. He'll always be thinking, well, at any point, the lender may come to me and say, look, I'm sick of watching your field for you. I want my money back. And he can always pressure me to pay up his money. Now he's offering me the opportunity to just say, keep my field, that will be yours, and you don't bother me ever again. So granted, the field is worth more than the loan is worth, right? But there's still enough reason, even without the lender throwing in extra money, the borrower has enough motivation to want to say, you know what, just keep the field. It at least gives him closure. At least he can never be pressured again. So that's why Tosfos says Rashi didn't really have to say that the lender sweetened the pot a little bit, that he threw in a little bit extra money. It could just mean that damim alalu for the if you ever decide to sell the field, the lender tells the borrower, let it be for the money that I lent you, and that will be it. Says Tosfos v'intomer amay asrin unhacha. But still, why is this deal usser? The Gemara says you're not allowed to do this. The Gemara says this is a ribbis problem to do. Why should this be usher? Vatnan lekaman. Later on, we have a mission that says hilvo al sadehu va'amrlei. Well, we had, it's not really the kaman, the changes in the gear. So vatnan b'masnisin. We had in our mishnah that hilvo al sadehu, that if you lend the money on the field, va'amrlei yimiyatim nosin mikan vad gimel shanim, and you use the field as a collateral, and you say the deal that look, if you don't pay me back within 3 years, harehi shali, the field becomes mine automatically. Harei shalom. Mishnah said that's fine. Why is that at all different than our case? We're assuming over here that the loan, the original loan amount, was less than the value of the field. That's why it's a threat. That's why I say, look, if you don't pay me back within 3 years, I'm taking the field, and the guy will want to pay me back within 3 years because he doesn't want to lose the field, which is worth more than the loan. And the Gemara seems to really clearly imply that the field is worth more than the loan. And the Mishnah didn't have a problem with that. Isn't that exactly this case? Where I take your field as a collateral and I say, look, if you ever want to sell this field, I want it sold to me for the value of the loan. So isn't that exactly this case? Why in our Gemara is it usher, but in the Mishnah it's mutter? So it says, Tosos Yeshlomer Delamai Demukila Me Achshav Asi Shapir Delo Havia Halva'a. Meaning, if you assume that that in the case of the Mishnah, he says that the field is going to be, then what's the case in the Mishnah? Not that if by 3 years you don't pay me, then I'm going to take the field, but if in 3 years you don't pay me, it will turn out that I was always the owner of the field, in which case there was never any halva'a, it was a sale. And that's why there's no ribbis, because it was just a sale. It's just we didn't realize that the sale was binding until 3 years later, but it was a sale. So that's not a ribbis problem. But in our case, it's clearly a halva'a, and therefore it's going to be a ribbis problem. That's if you assume that the case of the Mishnah works retroactively. Even if you assume it does not work retroactively, the other major difference between the Mishnah and our case is if I borrow money and you tell me that if within 3 years I don't pay you back, you're going to keep my field, I always have another option. If the field is, let's say I borrow $100, the field is worth $200. So why would I just let you keep the field after 3 years? I have a much better option. I could take that field, sell it to somebody else, get $200, and let's say I only get $190, whatever, get a lot more money than I owe you, pay you the money that I owe you, and keep the extra. Why in the world would I let you keep the field? So since I always have that option, when I do let you keep the field, it shows that I'm just giving it to you as a matana. I always had the other option of liquidating the field and paying you back whatever portion of it I owe you. From the fact that I'm letting you keep it, it's clear that it's just me being nice to you. But in this case, you make it part of the deal that you're not allowed to sell it to anybody else. Right? In the case in our Gemara, I'm telling the guy, look, I'm taking your field as a mashkon, and if you don't pay me back, and whenever you decide to sell this field, it can only be sold to me and only for the money of the loan. So that's already tying his hands. That's already making it very difficult for him. So that's going to be the problem. That's going to be a problem of ribbis because you're really not giving him any other choices. It's clearly not just a matana. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, b'shavyehen mutter. But if the deal was not that I get this field for the loan, for whatever the loan amount was, the deal was instead, I'm going to get this field for whatever the true value of the field is, then that's going to be mutter. So who's the one that says that if it was usher, if you decide that you're going to get, that this guy has to sell you the field, if he ever decides to sell the field, that it has to be for the value of the loan, that that's going to be usher? So I'm referring to Rabbi Yeshua, Delok Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Tzadech and Ribis Mutter. That's against Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that Tzadech and Ribis is Mutter. What does Tzadech and Ribis Mutter mean? It means that if we set up a deal where there's only a possibility that it's going to end up being a Ribis problem, but it's also possible that it won't be a Ribis problem, that's going to be Mutter. Why is this Tzadech and Ribis? Because again, the deal is, if you ever decide to sell this field, then you can only sell it to me. So good. So if you decide to sell this field, we'll have a ribis problem. But if you don't decide to sell the field, we won't have any problem. Because you don't have to sell the field. We're not saying that you have to sell the field to me. We're just saying, should you decide to sell it, then you have to sell it to me for this smaller amount of money. So that's only tzarech ribis. There's only one possible outcome where it's going to be a ribis issue. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, you're allowed to set up a deal where as a penalty of the deal, as long as it's not 100% definitely going to happen, as a penalty of the deal, there's a ribis penalty. So that's going to be mutter. Next, so we're at the two dots, about 10 lines from the bottom of the page. Marchlo on Samachem base. Marchlo bais, marchlo sada. Vamlo l'kshiyuli ma'os achzirimli aser. If I sell, Reuven sells Shimon a field, he sells him a house, and he says, when I have money, I want you to return the house or the field to me. So aser, that's aser. You can't make a deal like that. You can't make a sale that's returnable. That whenever I have money, I want to buy back the merchandise. I want to buy back the property. But if the seller says, look, I'm a nice guy. I have no interest in taking away your family's property. If you ever have money, feel free. You can always come to me and I'll sell it back to you. That's mutter. As long as it's the seller who's initiating and saying, if you ever want to sell it back to me, that's fine. If you ever want to buy it back from me, that's fine. That's going to be mutter. So mantana, amr afun rabbi Yehuda, delok rabbi Yehuda. Ti rabbi Yehuda amr tzadech ribis mutter. Meaning the one that says that the buyer is not allowed to make such a deal is going against rabbi Yehuda. Because again, rabbi Yehuda holds tzadech ribis mutter. As long as there's only a possibility of ribis, that's going to be mutter. So, and we assume that this is a ribis problem. Why is this a ribis problem? Because the payros that are eaten in the interim, meaning I'm selling you the field, but then I'm going to buy it back from you for the same amount of money. Well, in between, you got to eat all those payros. So it's as if you lent me money and then got paid back a little bit more. So maishna reisha, maishna seifa. What's the difference between when the buyer is the one who says that I want to make it a condition of this deal that I should always be able to sell it? I'm sorry, when the seller says I want to make it a condition of this deal that I always want to be able to buy it back, where we say that is problematic, versus where the buyer says that, hey, if you ever have money, you can buy it back from me, where that's not problematic. What difference does it make? Why should it matter who's the one that initiates? So I'm rather safer than let me die today. He says, no, the difference is not who's the one that says it. The difference is that in the case where the seller is saying, look, if you ever, where the buyer is rather saying, look, if you ever have money, you can always buy the field back from me. He's not saying that I'm guaranteeing you that I'm going to sell it back to you. He's saying, midaite, if you ever have money, come, we'll talk about it again. I might decide to sell it back to you. He's not making any promises. And that's why it's not a problem, because it's only where he tells him midaite. If you look at Rashi on the third wide line, im ertza achzirim, if I want, I'll return it to you. Velosha titveini bedin, you certainly can't sue me for it. If you ever have money, you can't come to court and say that I promised I'm going to sell it back to you and try to get it from me. Hilkach mutter, that's mutter. Dinami chazer v'kibul ma'osav, because even if later on I change my mind, you know, even if later on I decide that I'll take your money and I'll give you your field back, ad achshav shalohei savu chazer mokralo. It wasn't a loan. It was certainly mine. The initial sale was certainly valid. I bought it. It was mine. And when I was eating the payros, I was eating the payros of my own field. Now, at a later date, I decide to sell it back to you. It's a totally separate deal. It's not ribis. It's not a loan. We don't view it as if there was, meaning when the deal is made, where I have to sell it back to you. So this is really an exchange. It's like it's on loan, that the money that you gave me, that I gave you for the field, is on loan, and then you're going to give it back to me. That's where we're concerned with ribis. But if there's nothing binding me to take your money back and give you the field back, then it's not going to be a ribis problem. It's a totally new deal. And that's... Right, so that's what we're saying. It's, there's no difference. Meaning, that's not really the chiluk. The chiluk is that it's whether he's locking himself into a corner, he's binding himself, or he's not binding himself. Yeah, that's what it seems like. That's what it seems like. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Ha'u garva, story. Ha'u garva dezavanei ar lechavrei. A guy sold land to his friend, shalobach rayus. But normally, when you sell land to somebody, it's understood in the deal. Achrayas ta'asofer, it's understood in the deal that if that land ever gets confiscated from him because you have creditors who are going to be after it, that he's responsible to reimburse you. Meaning, you buy land in good faith, assuming that there are no liens on that land. If it turns out that there were and it gets taken away from you, so you have to get reimbursed. But they wrote in the contract on this deal that he's not going to have any responsibility, that the seller doesn't have any responsibility for this land, and if there are any liens on it, if anyone comes and takes it from you, I'm not responsible, it's not my problem. You should do your research carefully before buying this land, and you know, and if it doesn't work out for you, don't come complaining to me. I don't want to deal with it. So that's the way. So basically, the terms of the agreement really worked in the seller's favor over here. The buyer bought himself a lemon over here. He bought himself a piece of land that could get taken away from him at any time, and he'll have no recourse. He'll have no ability to get reimbursed. So Chazir Davakatsiv, so the seller saw that the buyer obviously was upset because the buyer just, you know, got himself into a real difficult deal. So Amalei, Amayat Sivas, why are you so sad? What? Oh, you worried about that Achrayas thing? The fact that I didn't take any responsibility to reimburse you? Don't worry. If anyone ever takes this field away from you, you have my word. You know how good my word is. You have my word that I'll pay you back from the best fields, and I'll give you whatever. And whatever improvements you make on the field, if you invest any money in the field, I'll give you that too. Don't worry about it. It's all good. He didn't write that in the shtar, of course, but he gave his word. So, that's called trying to make him feel better. But it's absolutely not binding. It's just Petumi Mili fattening his words. Says Rashi, he's just trying to give him a little nechama. He's trying to make him feel better about the deal. But he certainly does not mean that in any way this should be binding, that if it gets taken away, he's going to have to reimburse him. If he wanted it to be binding, he would have put it in the shtar that there's achrayus. He obviously bedafka put in the shtar that there's no achrayus. So the fact that later on he says, don't worry, I'll take care of you, doesn't mean anything. Why do we assume it's only Petumi Mila Bialma, that he's only comforting him, but it's not binding at all? These Kivan de Lokeach by Lasnue, Vahacha Mocher Kamasni, Amr Petumi Bialmahu. Who's the one that should be able to make a Tanai, that should be insisting on a Tanai? The Lokeach, the buyer, should be the one making this Tanai that you should have to pay me back. It's the Mocher making the Tanai over here. If the Mocher is the one initiating the Tanai, it's obviously just Petumi Mili. He's obviously just trying to make him feel better. So it's obviously not going to be binding. The Lokeach should have been the one making the Tanai. Now, the Shittim Gatzah says, wait a second, even if the Lokeach makes the Tanai, if the deal is signed already, right, if they already have a contract and this Tanai is not in the contract, does the Lokeach have the ability to make a Tanai at this point? Meaning, I signed a deal. The contract says I bought this field, and that if anything happens to this field, if it ever gets taken away from me, there's nothing I could do. So later on, I can go to you and say, you know, I really want to change the terms of our agreement. Is this the NFL? You can't renegotiate contracts. I mean, it doesn't work like that. The contract is done already. So what kind of deal is this that the Lokeach is allowed to come and change the conditions of the Tanai? So. And if you're going to say that we're talking about that the mocher changed his mind and he's willing to be mocher that tonight, so if the mocher is willing to be mocher that tonight, so in the case where the mocher makes it tonight that it should be that there should be a chrayus and he's willing to be mocher, why doesn't it work? Why can't the lokeach initiating? I mean, if the mocher is in agreement, the seller is in agreement, says, okay, fine, we'll add that in, that I'll have a chrayus also. So then it should be binding. Who cares that the Lokeach is the one that initiated it? So that's Shittim Gvetz's kasha. Very strong kasha, just pshat kasha. What's going on in the Gemara? So Shittim Gvetz's explains that since initially they made the deal without Achrayus, even if the Mocher is Mochel on what's written in the Shtar, and he says, you know what? I'll take upon myself the responsibility for Achrayus, but still, they did not write in the Shtar that it should be Achrayus, and normally it's assumed there is Achrayus because it's clear that he Dafka did not want it that way, and even if he is maskim, it's only Petumi Mila, meaning the Mocher is the one that would have to be the one to initiate it. So Ella Masnisa, sorry, the Lokeach would be the one that would have to initiate it in order for it to work. So Ella Masnisa, the Ketani, Lekshiulach Hamos, Achzulach mutter. But wait a second, go back to our Mishnah where we say, look, if you ever have money, I'll return it to you. We said that case is mutter. The mocher is the one that should be making the tanai. But the mocher didn't make the tanai. It's lokech made the tanai. V'amrina maishna resha maishna seifa. And we still say, well, wait a second, what's the difference between the resha and the seifa? V'ram rava seifa dam lemidaite. Right? What do we just say? That the difference is that in the seifa, it's where he says, if I ever decide that I'm going to give it back to you for the money, so then it's going to work, because he's leaving it up to his own decision. So time adam lemidaite. It sounds like the only reason is because he's still leaving it up to his own discretion later on. But halom lemidaite. But if he did not leave it up to his own discretion, lo amrin petum milu bialmahu. We assume that he really meant it. We don't assume it's petum milu. Meaning, why do we assume that it's usher and it's going to be ribis in that case? Because we assume he's serious. We assume he really means it. So he's not just saying it as a petume mili. So Amalei nasa kemandi amalei midaiti yitmari. No. When we say that he said to him that the mocher, that the lokeach said to the mocher, look, if I ever want it back, if you ever want it back, I'll sell it back to you. So that's okay. Is only when he says midaite that I'm not promising I'm going to sell it back to you. I'm just saying that we could discuss it later on, and I might change my mind, and I might sell it back to you. That means by definition, he's telling him midaite. That since it is the lokeach who's the one who's initiating this, by definition, it's not binding. By definition, he's saying, it's not that he happens to structure the deal in such a way where he's saying, I'll leave it open to discussion. By definition, it's still open to discussion. By definition, it's still open to his decision later. Nothing can be binding right now, because it wasn't the mocher who initiated the tanai, it was the lokeach who initiated the tanai. All right, next story. Ha'ushkiv mirad kasla gitel debitu. There was a guy on his deathbed writing a get to his wife. Why would you write a get to his wife on the deathbed? The marriage is going to end anyway. He's about to die. So why bother writing a get? So obviously this was because of a yibum issue. The guy had a brother. They didn't have any children. He didn't want his wife to have to deal with the brother for yibum and chalitza. So the only way out of that is he has to divorce the wife before he dies. So he writes a get on the deathbed. In giv isnach, and as he's giving his wife the get, he's groaning. He's like, oy, I can't believe I have to divorce my wife. I'm going to die a single man. He doesn't want, he's clearly struggling with it. So Amrulay, his wife says to him, Amaykum isnachas, why are you groaning? Meaning, what are you worried about? What do you think? Ikayem es tidachana. If you make it through, if you pull through this illness, don't worry, I'll still be married to you. Meaning, this get is only al tanai that you die. Don't think that if you make it, that I'm just going to take the get and run. I still have every interest in being married to you. So why are you so upset? Meaning, the get didn't say it tonight. It never said in the get, I'm only giving you this get, I'll tonight that I die. The get was just a get. Hareza giteich, period. It was just a get. She's throwing in a tonight now. She's saying, don't worry, it's only I'll tonight that you die. But if you don't die, everything's going to be good. We'll still be married. She's the one that's introducing that. Some Rav Zit Petumim Mila Bialmahu. Rav Zit says she's just being nice, but the get is binding no matter what. If he gets better, it's still a valid get. She's just trying to comfort him a little bit. Amrli Ravacha Midifti Ravina Vilav Petumim Mila Mai. So and if it were not just her being nice, what would you say? Bididakai Mila Mishti Tana Begita. What is it? Her option to throw a tanai into a get. Bididakai Mila Mishti Tana. She can't make a tanai in the get. He's the one that has to make the tanai in the get. He's the one giving the get. He's the one making the tanai in the get. Right? A man, theoretically, on a Torah level, midaraisa, is allowed to give get to his wife, bal karcha, even against her will. The get is totally dependent on his das. Her das isn't even necessary to make the get happen. It could be done bal karcha. We have a cherem d'Rabbeinu Gershom that you're not allowed to give a get to your wife, bal karcha, but midaraisa, it works bal karcha. Rav Shachter always likes to point out that when we say a cherem d'Rabbeinu Gershom that you're not allowed to give a get to your wife, bal karcha, even before Rabbeinu Gershom came along, it's still, you know, not a nice thing to do, to give a get to your wife, bal karcha. It would still be usher, but the get would work. Meaning, that's the point, the get would work. The Rabbeinu Gershom came along and gave that isser ben adam lechavero of doing not nice things, like reading other people's mail, and being megarish wife, bal karcha, and marrying multiple women, etc. Things that aren't nice anyway, ben adam lechavero. Rabbeinu Gershom just gave it the extra force of a cherem. And he said, not only are these things wrong, but if you do it, you have a curse that you should drop dead. So that's what Rabbeinu Gershom added. But either way, the point is that if a guy gives a get to his wife Bal Karchan, at the right level, the get works. So you see that it's totally dependent on his das. She should have no right to throw a Tanai in. So why does it matter that she's not serious over here? Even if she's dead serious, that don't worry, if you get better, I'm really serious, I really mean it, that I want a Tanai in this get. It doesn't matter. She's not authorized to make a Tanai in the get. So says Gemara, no, Mao Ditema Hu Gufe Adaiti Didaka Gamar Vayav Gita. No, because I might have thought that he's given, when he subsequently gives the get, he's holding the get, he's about to give it to her, he's groaning. She says, don't worry, the get is only out tonight, that you don't get better. And then he gives it to her, so he just heard what she said, and then he gave it to her. Maybe that means he's being maskim to the Tanai. It's as if he himself is including the Tanai, Chamash Mila, and therefore comes to tell us, no, that's not an assumed haskama to the Tanai. We don't assume he's being maskim to the Tanai. The Chuvas Harash writes that according to the maskana of the Gemara over here, it's clear that if the woman makes a Tanai in a get, that the Tanai can work if the husband does just give that get right afterwards. Over here, it's the assumption is that it doesn't work because he assumes she's just trying to comfort him and she herself doesn't mean it. But you see that if it were not a situation where it's pitum imili, where you have to worry that maybe the woman doesn't really mean it, she's trying to make him feel better, if a woman is authorized to add a Tanai, if the husband seems to be going along with it, even if he doesn't verbalize it. Shavuos HaRosh says, a woman throws in a Tanai, the husband says, here's your get, meaning it sounds like he's going along with the Tanai, that would work. Such a Tanai can actually work. If you look at Tosos over here, Kamash Milan says Tosos, Pirish Tachinami Adaita Didam Maknala Eino Choser, Degam Hilo Amra El Ptumimila. What's the Kamash Milan? That even though he gives the get to her, Al Das what she just said, still the get is going to be absolutely binding without this Tanai because she was only saying it to comfort him. Mash Mahacha says Tosos, you see from here, the Shemamina Megarish Isha Stam Im Amar Eino Choser Beget. That if a guy is megarish his wife on his deathbed, and then he gets better, so he cannot undo that get. That's what the Gemara sounds like. The get is absolutely binding. We don't assume just because of the condition he's in that we're going to read into it that maybe he's only giving this get because he's dying. But had he known that he's going to survive, then he would never want this to be a get. We do not make such assumptions. He gave the get, it's a get. And even if he gets better, it's a get. For all we know, maybe he gave the get because he didn't like the way the wife treated him in his illness. V'chein mashman b'misha achzu shuhutzruch Shmuel is second begita to shchivim ra imesi yeheget v'imlav lo yeheget. In fact, the Gemara goes out of its way to say that if you don't want it to be a good get, if you get better, you have to include that in the lashon of the get. You have to say in the get, look, if I die, then this will be a good get, and if I don't die, then I don't want this to be a good get. And short of including that into the language of the shtar, then it's not. Then the get is going to be binding no matter what. So asks Tosfos, so mikan makshe Rabbeinu Tam al pirush hakuntros v'rach, but this is a kasha on Rashi and the Rabbeinu Chananel, the pirush hadam Rav Huna b'misha achzu, they explain Rav Huna's comment, gito hareu kamatanaso, ma matanaso mamad chozer af gito mamad chozer, that when the Gemara says that Rav Huna holds that a get has the same din as a matana on the deathbed, that just like when you give a matana on the deathbed, you tell someone on your deathbed, you can have my business, it now belongs to you. And then you get better. Obviously, you didn't really mean for him to have your business. You got better now, so you get it back. So too by the get, if you give a get on your deathbed, if you get better, the get is undone. Upirish dastam shchiv merakai. Not shemam. Dastam shchiv merakai. That we're talking about a regular shchiv merah. The kshnasim get stam im amr chozer come up matana. Then if you give a get stam, even a regular shchiv merah, guy on his deathbed gives his get stam. Rashi understands that when he gets better, the get is not going to be binding anymore. So isn't this Gemara a major kasha in Rashi? This Gemara seems to say very, very clearly that if I give a get stam on the deathbed, when I get better, the get is still going to be binding. So it says Tosos mi yeshlomer sugi dahacha ushmuel pligi arafuna dachnem pligi lehasam rabba v'rava. What you have to say is that this Gemara, according to Rashi, is enochinami against Rafuna. It's a machlok asamorayim. And you see that this Gemara, the stam of the Gemara over here, goes against Rav Huna over there, who holds that the get will no longer be binding if the guy gets better. Okay, Vaiter in the Gemara. Hilvol al Sadeu. So the Mishnah had said a case that if I lend a guy money and we use his field as a mashkon, and I tell the guy, look, if you pay me back within 3 years, wonderful. If you don't pay me back within 3 years, your field is mine. So I lent him $100. I take his $200 field as a collateral, and I say, if you don't pay it back within 3 years, I'm keeping the field, right? So the Mishnah says, Harei Shalom, that's binding. I get to keep the field after 3 years, right? The Mishnah was okay with that. Says the Gemara, Amra Funa b'shas matan ma'os kana hakol, la'achar matan ma'os lo kana el kenegan ma'osav. I have to make that condition at the time of the original loan. When I lend you the money, that condition has to be included in order for it to work. I can't come to you a year after the loan and say, look, I'd really like my money back, and in fact, if you don't give me the money back in 2 years, then I'm going to keep your field. I can't do that. That's no good. Then I'm only going to be able to confiscate the amount of the field that corresponds to the loan, $100 worth of the field. I'm not going to be able to confiscate the entire field, because then it's going to be too much. Rav Nachman says, nah, even if it was after the money was given, still you could be kona the entire field. It doesn't have to be only the amount that corresponds to the loan. Rav Nachman was so sure that you can take the entire field that he paskin that way. And he wrote a shtar that the guy should be able to keep the whole field. Kari Rav Yudu l'shtare. That shtar was brought into Rav Yudu's Beis Din. Rav Yudu took one look at the shtar and he ripped up the shtar right in front. He ripped up the shtar right there in Beis Din. So Amalei Reshko said, now it was juicy. Now this was a good story. Here Rav Nachman wrote a shtar and Rav Yudu going in his Beis Din went and ripped up the shtar. A very public show of criticism of Rav Nachman's Psak Din. So Amalei Reshko Lusa. So obviously you always have someone running back to Rav Nachman. So the Reshko Lusa comes back to Rav Nachman. He says, Rav Yudu Karol l'shtarcha. Rav Yudu ripped up your shtar. What are you going to do now? So I'm going to put him in Cherim, right? What are you going to do? So I'm going to lay Dardika Kare. He said, what? You think it was a child that ripped up the shtar? Gavra Rabba Kare. Rav Yehuda is a big, big gadol. He ripped up the shtar. Chazabe Taimav Kare. He obviously ripped it up because he saw a reason to rip it up, meaning he's entitled to Paskin Ahalacha. He's a Dayan and he Paskin against me. I don't have a problem with that. He's a Gavra Rabba. He's allowed to rip up the shtar. That's one version of how things went down. But the other version of how things happened is Ikeda Amri Amrlei Dardika Kare Dekuli Alma Gilagabi Didi Bedina Dardiki Ninu. He says, "Yeah, Rabbi, I'm going to be concerned, Rabbi Yehuda. My Shar Rabbi Yehuda is a child compared to me. Meaning, I'm a great bucky in din, and Rabbi Yehuda is nothing. He's a child compared to me. So I'm going to get all upset when a 3-year-old rips up my shtar. So a 3-year-old rips up my shtar. He has no understanding of any of the halachas that I'm passing based on. He doesn't really understand the depth of my analysis over here. I'm the greatest bucky." And Dine Mamunus, it doesn't concern me. I mean, it's like, what are you bothering me with what Rabbi Yehuda does? He's just acting on his own. He has no right to paskin against me. So two very different reactions or mesoras of what Rav Nachman's reaction was. In fact, we do find in other Gemaras that Rav Nachman was a great baki in Dine Mamunus. Right, we know of certain Amorayim who are exceptional bakiim in Dine Mamunus. Rav Nachman was a great baki in Dine Mamunus. In fact, the Gemara says that we paskin like Rav Nachman Bedini, just like we paskin Hilchsa Karav B'Yisuri and Hilchsa Kishmuel Bedini, we paskin like Shmuel in Dine Mamunus, we paskin like Rav Nachman in Dine Mamunus also. Anyway, Hadam Rav Nachman, then Rav Nachman changes his mind anyway. Rav Nachman says, Afilu B'Shas Matan Mo, Slo Kanav Lo Klum. Rav Nachman then went to the other extreme. He says, even if you made this tonight at the time where you gave the money, still lo kind of lo klum, you can't take the guy's field away from him. So Esve Rava Rav Nachman. So Rava asks Rav Nachman, Im Iatanosim Limikan Me'at Shaloshanim Harei Shali Harei Shalo. What are you going to do with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says you do get to keep the field. That if at the time of the loan you tell the guy, look, pay me within 3 years, and if not, I'm keeping your field, that it does work, that you're allowed to keep the field. So how can you now say that you're never allowed to keep the field? You're clearly against our Mishnah. Samalei ani omar asmachta kanya. Umin yomi omar asmachta lo kanya. He says, you know what? You're right. I initially thought that really you should get to keep the field, because I thought asmachta kanya. What does asmachta mean? That when a person makes a deal where he's going to be mechayev himself a lot of money based on a possibility, meaning I'll give you that field provided that I don't pay you back. Why do I say that? It's not because I want to give you the field. It's because I really think I'm going to pay you back. So that's called asmachta. Asmachta is when I'm being mechayev myself in something based on a possibility that I don't really think is going to happen. Right? That's why when we talk about gambling, the major sugya in Sanhedrin about gambling is about, primarily, there are two issues, but one of the major issues is the issue of asmachta. That when I sit down to a poker game, I sit down to a blackjack game, if I'm putting money on the table, it's not because I'm interested in giving you my money, it's because I'm interested in taking your money. I'm interested in winning. I want to win. Now there is the possibility that I won't win, and therefore I'm going to have to give you my money, but that's a smachta. I'm not having full das to actually be makin my money to you, and therefore when you take my money, it's as if you're stealing a little bit. So Rav Nachman says, look, I always held that a smachta is kanya, that it's a valid form of kinyan, and even though it's only a possibility that it's going to happen, he should be able to take the field. And I was perfectly in line with the Mishnah. But then Menyumi came along and he said, no, that a smachta is lo kanya. So he convinced me a smachta is lo kanya. So what are you hacking me for? I really held that way. So you're right. What I'm saying now is against the Mishnah, but it's not my fault. It's Menyumi's fault. He's the one that decided to convince me that a smachta is lo kanya. So ask him what to do with the Mishnah. So the Menyumi Akashim Asnisin, the Gemara says, okay, whoever holds it, what difference does it make? I mean, the point is, the Mishnah is against whoever holds that a smachta is lo kanya, because in the case of the Mishnah, it's clearly the issue of a smachta. The guy plans on paying back within 3 years, and if he doesn't pay back within 3 years, the penalty is he's going to have to give up the field. So says Gemara, Ibai Seim Masnisin Rabbi Yossi Damar Asmachta Kanya. Either you could assume that the Mishnah is only going like those shitos that hold that a smachta is kanya, and Ein Achinami, those that hold a smachta is not kanya, would disagree with the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is not a reflection of a unanimous view in Tanaim, it's a reflection of a singular view in Tanaim, that a smachta is kanya, or it could be that in the Mishnah, the way the kinyan is working is that it's a complete kinyan from the time of the deal. It's not that the field is going to be yours in 3 years from now if I don't pay back. It's that if I don't pay back, it will be a glay milsom afrei that the field is yours right now. So therefore, it's not going to be subject to a smachta because it's a complete form of kinyan starting from right now. Maryanuka and Mark Shisha, the children of Rav Chista, said to Rav Ashi, it's unclear if those are really their names. Yanuka means younger and Shisha means older. So the younger and older sons of Rav Chista, probably their names weren't younger and older. That would be a funny sense of humor for a father to name his older kid older and the younger son younger. But anyway, Maryanuka and Mark Shisha, the older and younger son of younger and older son of Rav Chista, said to Rav Ashi, Hachra Ami Narda Yishmed Rav Nachman, that in Narda they say the name of Rav Nachman as follows. Chaya smachta bizmane kanya, beloz mane lo kanya. That an asmachta in its time is kona, when it's not in its time, it's not kona. What does that mean? So Rashi tells you what we're supposed to think it means at this time, at this point in the Gemara. Second skinny line, bizmane kanya, kasalka daitach higiyaz man velo nasan lo ma'osav. That in the case of our Mishnah, where I said, look, if you don't pay me back within 3 years, I get your field, so bizmane, when that time is up, those 3 years are up, and you haven't given me the money, then I'm going to be kona the field. But below zmane, prior to the 3 years being up, I certainly can't take your field. I can't say the field is mine because I have to give you the full 3 years to pay back. I'm like, call me deep zmane kani below zmane lo kani. Is that, that has nothing to do with asmachta, that's the deal. I mean, of course, you can't come before the deal is over and say, yeah, you know, it was supposed to be 5 years, but I'm pretty comfortable with ending it now. You can't, that's not the deal, of course not. That's not nothing to do with our case, that's always. So he says, no, Dilma Hachi Kamri, so that couldn't have been what he was saying. What he must have been saying was as follows. Ashkeche bego zimne v'amale kni kani. What if you find him two years later, the borrower sees the lender and he says, you know what, just be cone of my field already. Meaning, you gave me 3 years to pay it back, it ain't happening with the economy the way it is, whatever. Just be cone of my field already. So then kani, then he is kona. Basvazimni va'amr le kani, lo kani. But if after the 3 years are up, he sees the borrower sees the lender and he says, yeah, just be cone of my field, just take it. He's not kona. So it sounds backwards, right? It's my time, why should that be so? We assume when he told him that just be kona my field, he was saying that not because he really wanted him to be kona the field, but because he was embarrassed. Meaning he was embarrassed that he didn't have the money and he knew that it's past due. So he's saying, keep my field, but he doesn't really want the guy to keep his field. Meaning this whole discussion right now is assuming asmachta lo kanya. It's assuming that the deal that we make, that if after 3 years I don't pay you back, you get to keep my field, is not binding. You're not allowed to keep my field because I never really intended to give you the field. I really wanted to pay you back on time. But we're saying that if within 3 years I go over to you and I say, take the field instead of the money, so that's going to work because now it's not an asmacht anymore. Now I'm actively telling you I want to give you my field. I'm not making it conditional. I'm not making it, you know, conditional on anything that I, on any tonight that I plan on fulfilling or anything like that. I'm just telling you take it. That would work. But if after the 3 years are up, where it didn't work for you, you're not kona my field, and I just say, yeah, be kona it, I don't mean it. I'm just saying be kona because I'm embarrassed that I haven't paid you back, and I know that it's past due. So says Gemara Velohi, Dafilu Begoz Zimni Nami Lokani, but this isn't true La Halacha. We say even within the time, if I come over to you and I say keep the field, you're not going to the field. Why did I tell you to keep it then? Meaning the only reason I'm telling you within the 3 years to keep the field is I'm trying to be a nice guy to keep you off my back so that after 3 years you're not going to bother me and you're not going to keep going after coming after me for the money. But I don't really mean that I want to give you my field. I certainly don't want to give you my field. I'd much rather have the money and be able to pay you. I just don't have the money and I don't want you to bother me for the money. So the easier way for me to say it is just keep the field, even though I don't really mean it. Amrav Papa, Hayasmachta Zimnin Kanya Zimnin Lo Kanya. Asmachta is a tricky topic. Sometimes Asmachta is Kona, sometimes it's not Kona. Ashkei Dekashasi Shechra Kani. If you find that on the day that the loan is due, you see the guy is drinking beer. So he's obviously not so, he's not worried, and he's not going looking to try to come up with the money to redeem his field and to get his field back. So then you're kona. If you see that the guy is looking for money, he's trying to scrounge around and come up with the money to pay you back, to get his field back, so then you're not going to the field when the money was due. Because again, the whole issue of Asmachta is, did the guy ever have das that you should own his field now? If you see that he's totally at peace with it and he's knocking back beers in a bar, so then you know he's totally fine with it, you're allowed to keep his field. But if you see that he's not at peace with it and he really wants his field back, so he obviously doesn't have complete das that you should have his field. Well, how do you know? How can you be so judgmental? Just because the guy's drinking on the day that the loan is due, maybe he's drinking because he's so down and out, and he's so right. Bars aren't generally filled with happy people, and maybe he's just trying to drown his sorrows. That's why he's drinking. It's not because he's comfortable with the fact that you're going to take his field. It's because he's so upset that he's losing his field. That's why he's drowning his sorrows at the bar. Or maybe he's just relaxing at the bar because there's some sugar daddy came along and told him that he's going to guarantee him the money, and that he has nothing to worry about, that he's not going to lose his field. And that's why he's not looking for the money. I mean, you don't know. You don't know what the backstory is. So Ravina says, no, the situation is, if you see that when the guy is selling his stuff, he's very makbid to only sell for their exact value and to not give anyone any deals in selling his stuff, then you know that he's comfortable giving you his field. Because if he really needed money, he would start selling off his other stuff for cheaper prices. He would make a tag sale in his yard to be able to come up with whatever cash he can to try to get his field back. From the fact that he's not doing that, it's an indication that he's comfortable with you taking the field. Maybe he doesn't want to make a tag sale because everyone's going to see that he's so desperate, it's going to make his land go decrease in value. If you see that he's selling other lands for exactly their price and he's not giving any deal, then you know that he's comfortable giving it up. Even though Asmachta is not Kona, but you can still use that field as a source of collection of your funds. Meaning, even though you said, if you don't pay me back within 3 years, I get to keep your field, and it doesn't work, you don't get to keep the guy's field, but still, you can collect the payment that's due you from the field. You can't take the whole field, but you can take the payment that's due you from the field. Why? Did the guy ever say you're allowed to be kona this field as collection of your funds? And if he does say that you can use this field to collect, does that work? That's also an asmachta. If I say, look, if I don't pay you back within 3 years, you can use this field to collect from, that's also only an asmachta. I plan on paying you back cash. I don't want you to use this field to collect from. No, but it must be that initially, when I made the deal, I said, look, if you ever want to get paid back, that's what this field is for. You always have this field to go to get paid back. If a person sold the field to his friend with achrayus, and the guy said, look, if this field ever gets taken away from me, I want to be able to get reimbursed from the best of your best. He says, no. I'm not going to give you the best of my best to reimburse you because I'd really rather have that. But I'll give you good fields, high quality. Ultimately, the field was taken away. It was, in fact, confiscated. Asa batka shakal liyidei idis. And the best of his best fields were flooded and ruined. So Savrav Papa Lememri may idis amalei vakaima. So if Papa said, you know what? He promised him he'd still give him high quality fields. He should reimburse him with high quality fields. So Rav Acham Idifti said to Ravina, no, when I promised you I'd give you an Idis to reimburse you, that's because I thought I'd be able to still have Ida Idis for myself. But now that my Ida Idis is gone, my Idis has become my Ida Idis. It's become the best of my best, and therefore I'm just going to give you a regular Beninus field. I should not still be bound to give him the Idis field. Okay, let's stop there.